All right, comedian Lisa Ann Walter. You know her from the movies in The Parent Trap, Bruce Almighty, TV It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Breaking News, and since 2021, one of the stars of the ABC TV Emmy Award-winning sitcom Abbott Elementary. And she's at Zany's in Rosemont this weekend. Lisa joins us here on WGN. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
I am fabulous. Back in Chicago, you know, you're an actress, you're a producer, but you really enjoy a live audience and doing comedy, don't you?
100%. I mean, I was an actress before I started doing stand-up, and I went to New York. I did stage in D.C., where I'm from. I did off-Broadway, and then I, very soon after graduating college, got pregnant with my first child, and I had some friends that I went to college with in the drama department, and they kind of dared me to do stand-up, which was, at the time, kind of the height of the boom, the mid-80s. And
yeah.
So I did, within a year after having the baby, I got up on stage and started telling jokes, and I was good at it, and I was a national headliner for 8 years before I landed the big deal to come out to L.A. to star in sitcoms. And then that's what launched, which I never thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to be a stage actress. So everything after that was a surprise, including stand-up. But it was a discipline that I absolutely loved. I loved the idea that I could come up with things that I thought were funny that I didn't see other people talk about. One of the earliest bits I had was this whole long thing about natural childbirth, because the only person I ever saw doing it was Bill Cosby. And I thought, why is he telling the story of women giving birth?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of our experience. We should tell that story.
I love that. Well, I mean, doing the movies too, and then doing Abbott Elementary, which is more of a single camera comedy, you know, it must be invigorating to be in front of a live audience, right?
Yes. And I mean, you're very astute. Doing four camera comedy, which is sort of the old model of shooting sitcoms, is performed in front of a live audience, as we all know from hearing them say it on performed in front of a live audience.
Right.
And then you're kind of getting to hear the laughs, which is one of the reasons I got into this business to begin with, was I loved watching people feel and respond, and in particular, making them laugh. The way we do our show is with no audience. We do have three cameras going, but they're all shooting at the same time, like a single camera show. But we don't wait to do the reaction on the other side. We just have three cameras going all the time, which is great fun, and we get to really live in the character. And sometimes we make the crew laugh, which is great, or sometimes we make Quint a break, which is also great.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like being in the room and also as an audience member. For me, a fan of comedy, the first comics I ever heard was when I was a little girl. My dad used to let me stay up late to watch Ed Sullivan and then Laugh-In and the Smothers Brothers. Like, I have loved comedy my whole life. And I loved watching people's sets when they record them for a special or whatever, but it's not the same as seeing it live, because here's the thing. That particular performance will never happen again. It is an absolutely singular experience between you and the audience, and the audience with each other. And the way laughs happen in a room is like scientific. It starts in the front of the room at the stage, and it travels back into the house. And it's a great experience. We're all feeling the same thing together. We all watched it when somebody dropped a drink and the comic responded to it.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I love it.
I was going to say, it's almost like, you know, watching a movie by yourself or with friends on Netflix, and then you go to the theater and you're having that communal experience with everybody. And I was trying to think back, like, with the sitcom, like, when was it that I first heard live in front of it? It's probably all the Norman Lear sitcoms that said we're filming in front of a live studio audience. I hope so. You know, in some of that, but the single camera version of doing all this stuff, I mean, it's very trendy, but I enjoy it as well, because it people laugh at different times. It's almost like old time radio. Like, you had imagined the situation. Everyone had different reactions to it. And I think that's what single camera comedies bring to the table a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of it is that the four camera model is, and sometimes they are quote unquote sweetened, meaning we didn't get the laugh that we wanted to get for this joke because everybody saw it coming up Fifth Avenue. And so it's not much of a surprise, which jokes really need. You need to kind of be, you expect something and then it it's just a bit of a twist, or it's a complete twist, and that makes us laugh. But when we all know the format of how they write these jokes, and they're told in the rhythm of a joke, this character's setting it up, and this character's knocking it down, right? And it doesn't get much of a joke, then they add laughs, which is called sweetening. And I don't want to be told when to laugh. And by the way, I'm probably not laughing out loud at some of the things right. that you're calling a joke.
Right.
So
right.
I much prefer the no laugh track style of comedy.
No, personally. I get it.
But in a room, we're all laughing at the same time. Nobody's telling us to laugh at something. We're all just experiencing it.
Very true. Very, very true. You did a Zoom event with the Museum of Broadcast Communications for us back in 2021. I chair that. And when Abbott just debuted, you know, with some of the other cast members you did, and thank you for that, by the way, but it was a hot sitcom when it premiered. And it's just as hot now, nominated for 24 Emmys in just four seasons, one Emmys, Peabody's, Golden Globe Awards. The show's on fire.
It is. And I mean, one of my proudest moments was being on the stage with my castmates for the SAG Award for Best Ensemble in a Comedy. And which, by the way, I fully agree with them. I think, to me, this is the best ensemble working in comedy mm-hmm. today. And there are other ones that I enjoy, too. I don't mean to discount anybody else's work. But I think we're the best. It sings. When we are all firing on all cylinders, especially in scenes where we're all of us are in, like, the teacher's lounge or in a hallway and we're pinging lines off each other, it's like the comedies that I loved back in from the old days, the real, you know, snappy repartee, the back and forth. I love it. And every single one of my castmates is immensely talented. I think that it's wonderful that other people think so, too. Believe me, it's great that the critics think so when we get nominated for awards, and even better that the audience members out there, and especially teachers, think that we are a great show that represents them, that makes them feel seen. So for all those reasons, I consider myself incredibly lucky to be a part of it.
Well, you talked about this great ensemble you get to work with every day. Talk a little bit about the folks you work with.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got my work wife, my bestie, Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Cheryl,
she has been not only an incredible person. It's wild because from the very first week that we worked together, we sat down. I don't know why we picked those two spots in the teacher's lounge, but we picked them. Nobody put us there. We just said, we're sitting here. Mm-hmm. And since then, and we started a conversation day one, we had met each other before at an event, at a Tony event for charity, but we never really talked that much. And that day we started the conversation that has not stopped. We had so much in common. We both were divorced, you know, moms raising our kids in California and doing whatever it took to, you know, make ends meet and keep food on the table.
Similar careers, and
long, long-term careers doing multiple disciplines, you know, being on stage, being on screen, being in movies. And we just really got along. And so nobody ever tried to move us. I think one time a guest director came in and said, okay, Lisa, sit over here at a different table. And we both looked at, Cheryl and I looked at each other, and we were like, no, we sit here.
Yeah.
It's like, don't try to separate us. But, I mean, we've got Cheryl, who I adore. It was her idea to shoot my stand-up as a special. She pulled me into her dressing room after she came to see me in Philly two summers ago and said, girl, this needs to be on a film. We need to shoot this. And so we did. She and I produced it. We directed it. And it's done. We're just waiting to see where it's going to land. Tyler James Williams is the smartest guy in the business he's a grown adult, but I always look at him as a young man. And then he just starts talking about how the business works. And we all just look at him like, oh, okay. We defer to him.
Wow.
He knows this business inside and out. Well, because he learned
as
a child.
He did. He was a kid.
On Everybody Hates Chris.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I love Chris Perfetti as my little plays Jacob. He is like the young nephew that I never knew I needed and has come to my house for multiple events and occasions and dinners. And, you know, I love everybody. Janelle James is one of the funniest people working on television today, plays Ava. And mm-hmm. she, you know, again, from the pilot, I watched her take on this character who anywhere else would have been written as conniving and they would have had a different spin on it. Hers was just giggly and joyful, and I thought, wow, what a wonderful character. She does this great character with such joy. And, of course, everybody else has come to love her, too. At the beginning, they were like, ah, she's bad at her job. But they absolutely love her.
They
and
do.
Then you've got Stan, who plays Mr. Johnson, who is at my Christmas dinner table with his wife and the wife's mom from
That's
England.
Awesome. Yeah.
And, yeah, he's the best. We watch football together quite often. He's over, and we're watching NFL games together. And Quinta Brunson, the best boss on television, best boss there is. I mean, she's just, I adore her. She is cares for all of us. She's so young, but she is so capable and has been taking on the jobs of 10 people from day one. She's been taking care of wardrobe and casting people and choosing sets and making sure that it's authentic to Philadelphia. And she's just, and then back and forth into the writer's room. She's amazing.
That's
amazing.
Very cool.
And
that's
deserves
very cool.
Every accolade she gets.
Well, now, and you're renewed for a fifth season, so that syndication money is just going to start rolling in. You're set for life now.
Well, I mean, from your mouth to God's ears, you know, the world has changed.
In fact, I remember
I said something to the president of ABC. I'm like, you know, well, when syndication starts, and he said, you're in syndicate. What are you talking about? And he means, you know, streaming. And
ooh,
of course,
yeah.
As we know, there is no money in that. Like,
yeah, there's no money in that yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
We were talking to Lisa Ann Walter, coming to Chicago at Zany's Rosemont this weekend. She's a star of ABC comedy Abbott Elementary. And there's more with her next on 720 WGN. We're talking to Lisa Ann Walter, coming to Chicago at Zany's this weekend. She's the star of the ABC TV comedy Abbott Elementary. You did some radio back in the day. It was a talk show back in L.A., right?
I did for 3 years. I was on KFI, M640.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I grew up with talk radio. My mother used to play it in the car all the time. My mom, the reason I won Celebrity Jeopardy, because she was a teacher, a public school teacher in D.C., but also read voraciously, had me reading from the time I was three, knew more about more things than anybody I've ever met. And, I mean, the final answer in Celebrity Jeopardy where I won was because she read mystery novels. It was based on Mary Roberts Rinehart novel that created a trope that we still hear today. And I'm like, oh, the butler did it.
Amazing.
and
I saw that. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yes. And she was the reason that I love talk radio, because we used to listen to it in the car, and then she would start expounding on whatever Dr. Art Uline was talking about.
Okay.
Or whatever. And that's how I learned so much. I didn't know that I was taking all this in, but I guess I was, because there are trivia questions. You know, if I watch it on TV, if I watch Jeopardy, I'll answer something, and I have no idea why I know it.
It's None. Awesome. Talk radio is the best. I'm telling you, it's the best.
Yeah.
What did you talk about? What was your show about? I'm curious.
You know, it was called The Fabulous Lisa Ann Walter Show, and we, of course, did the news because KFI is a news talk radio station, but I also would have themes because I was on the weekend, and I was on both Saturday and Sunday. I would have maybe a theme all day Saturday that could have been talk about the song you lost your virginity to, or what was your first concert? Or, you know, what food do you make at home that nobody will eat, except you? You know,
a lot of listener engagement stuff. Yeah, a lot of listener engagement,
yes,
for sure. Yes,
yes. And sometimes people from our station would burst into the studio because they had to talk about the thing that I was mentioning for whatever reason.
Yeah, right.
They had to talk about it. So it was fun because people... You know, when you're driving around and you're doing your errands, which as a mother of four, I know this very well, you tend to, like, get a little bored, and you want to feel like you're having a conversation with people you know. And I think that's what I was for them. I felt familiar to them because of The Parent Trap, because they've been seeing me for so long and in different things. And I took the job because my kids were in high school, and I was the parent. I was the parent in charge, and I had to pick them up and drop them off at school every day, and I needed to be there and involved and in their life. So I couldn't really take a job, you know, in a movie or whatever that would take me on location. I had to be present. So that's what I did. I absolutely loved it.
So I'm going to back into a little bit to The Parent Trap, which you did in 98, 27 years ago already. That must be another performance you're most recognized for from a couple different generations.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it continues. And there is not a day that goes by that people don't stop me on the street. I mean, now, of course, it's a lot of Abbott and Jeopardy. There's a lot of people that are like, yell. That happened when I was on the lot at first. When it first came out, we were shooting on Warner Brothers, and people from across the lot would scream, Jeopardy! It's just funny to me.
That's awesome.
And also because I won for the Entertainment Community Fund, which helps people that are not just actors, but in all of the unions, you know, the lighting and makeup, and, you know, we have the strikes, and we have the fires, and we have the pandemic, and there's a lot of people that need help with their bills and making ends meet, and that's what that helped. So that's why I think people in the industry maybe knew it. But yeah, The Parent Trap has been nonstop since we made it. And especially if I'm out with my best friend, Elaine Hendricks, who played the mean girlfriend in The Parent Trap. She played Meredith. That's my best friend in real life. So if it's us out together, people lose their minds. They're just like, what? why is there a cast reunion happening at the grocery store? But yeah, it's really a blessing because so many generations have continued to love the show, because I think that people that were 11 or kids back when it came out, my son's age, he was the same age as Lindsay,
yeah.
And they continued to love it. And now they're parents. And so they introduced their children to it, because I think it's not just a kiddie movie. It's a movie about empowerment. It's kind of wish fulfillment that the parents get back together. And it's also a romance. It's a love story.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, Natasha and Dennis were a good-looking couple. I think people were really into that part of it. So
yeah, resonates
that's
with
why
people.
It's laughter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I saw on your resume, which I didn't know this until I turned on the episode to watch it. I'm like, oh, of course that's you. I didn't write. It was you did an early episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, like in the first or second season.
In the first season. And here's the deal. I had auditioned to play the Susie Essman role.
To play
Jeff Garland's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, she is Susie in the show, right? They kept her name.
Oh, God, yeah.
They had me back like 3 times. And the truth is, you know, because it's improv, they had me back on the last time I was there with Jeff, who I knew from stand-up days back in New York.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to be awful to him, just call him fat this and that and be awful. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't be mean like that to Jeff. I just was, she's much better at it than I was.
I was going to say, Susie has no problem with it. Yeah, she has no problem.
Yeah, she has no problem. But and she knew him from those days too, from the early stand-up days, but she had no problem with it. And she's perfect for it. It's her role, top to bottom. But they said, hey, will you come play a nurse? And I think the reason was because they wanted me to be, they had me back again to try out for an assistant of Larry's. And then that role wound up not being like a consistent role. Mm-hmm, so they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to use you for that. We want to save you for something else. And he said, will you come be a nurse? And I think they were expecting sexy nurse. And I was 4.5 months pregnant with my twins, which they didn't know until I got there. And I was like, yeah, I can't wear that hot nurse outfit. So I had scrubs on, and I made it even more like the nurses that you see in the doctor's office. I borrowed my daughter's scrunchie that had like an animal on it.
I saw your hair up glasses.
I always see nurses that are like, I want to look comfortable so that people feel safe in this office. Like, I want to be, you know, feel warm and welcoming. So that was the look I was going for. And then, of course, I was awful to Larry, which was much easier.
it always is. Lisa Ann Walter, again, you can see her all weekend long in Chicago at Zany's Rosemont, and you can catch Abbott Elementary on ABC. Lisa, what a blast talking to you. I want to do it again, and have fun in Chicago.
Oh, I always do, man. I already got a meal plan at Gibson's. And
of course you do.
I'm going to get some Garrett's popcorn at the airport. I won't even wait until I get into the town.
Say hello to James, the bartender. I think he just celebrated 25 years there. He'll make you a nice drink before or after the show.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Take care.
All right. See you soon, Chicagoland.